Hello and welcome to day 21 of our preparation for total consecration. Let's begin. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Day 21, a firm resolution to imitate the Immaculate. You cannot become holy in an instant and without effort. You must slowly take on the virtues of Our Lady in order to become the saint you are called to be. Acts of virtue require repetition until they become your stable pattern of conduct. Until vice is fully extirpated, you must get used to trying over and over again, until your whole pattern of conduct becomes virtuous and holy, until you become firmly established in doing good and avoiding evil. Once you are consecrated to the Immaculate, you will not become like her instantly. Your many bad habits will remain for you to contend with, and you will have to work to replace them with the virtues of Our Lady. Therefore, do not be surprised that, even when you already belong to her, initially you will still fall. But be sure that you will do so less frequently, less grievously, and you will get up more promptly, overcome temptations more readily, persevere more surely. Belonging to the Immaculate means constant effort to act like her, speak like her, think like her, trying again and again without growing discouraged. You must perseveringly try until you succeed, knowing that Our Lady is pleased with you because of every sincere effort you make, even if those efforts frequently fail and you remain unhappy with yourself. The true sorrow with which Our Lady wishes to fill your soul does not consist in dwelling on your unhappiness with yourself, or on being sad or discouraged, but rather in a firm resolution to turn back to your mother with all the more trust, seeking all the more to please her in your very next action. Our Lady is able to sanctify you more than you are able to sin. And for this reason, you must never become disheartened. As long as your mind remains firmly made up and your efforts are unwavering, Our Lady will make you a saint. Even if your sins seem to persist and you think they will not go away, if you continue to have recourse to her, she will lead you to victory. She will give you her virtues, especially her humility. And you will slowly imitate them all and reproduce them within yourself. Like a child who runs to its mother in all that happens to it, good or evil, so you must constantly run to her. Pray to her always with your lips and with your thoughts, and you will experience in yourself how the Immaculate will take ever greater possession of your soul, how your belonging to her will deepen more and more in every way. You will notice that your faults will weaken and vanish as she gently and powerfully draws you closer and closer to herself. Let us now turn to page 83 for our daily prayers. If you can, please kneel down. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Active adoration of the Most Holy Trinity by Saint Maximilian. I adore you, our Heavenly Father, because you have deigned to place in the most pure womb of Mary your only begotten Son. I adore you, O Son of God, because you condescended to enter the womb of Mary and became truly her actual Son. I adore you, O Holy Spirit, because you deigned to form in her immaculate womb the body of the Son of God. I adore you, O Most Holy Trinity, O One God in the Holy Trinity, for having exalted the Immaculate in such a divine way. And I will never cease daily from the first moment I awake to adore you most humbly, O Divine Trinity, with my face to the ground, repeating three times, Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Supplication to Our Lady by Saint Maximilian. Allow me to praise you, O most holy Virgin, with my personal commitment and sacrifice. Allow me to live, work, suffer, be consumed, and die for you, just for you. Allow me to bring the whole world to you. Allow me to contribute to your ever greater exaltation, to your greatest possible exaltation. Allow me to give you such glory that no one else has ever given you up to now. Allow others to surpass me in zeal for your exaltation, and me to surpass them, so that by means of such noble rivalry, your glory may increase ever more profoundly, ever more rapidly, ever more intensely, as he who has exalted you so indescribably above all other beings himself desires. In you alone, God is incomparably more glorified than in all of his other saints. For you, God has created the world. For you, God has also called me to existence. Allow me to praise you, O most holy Virgin. O Mary, conceived without sin, pray for us who have recourse to you, and for all who do not have recourse to you, especially for the enemies of the Holy Church and those recommended to you. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. And that concludes our preparation for day 21. One of the lies that enters some people's minds is that Marian consecration is too narrow and too limiting. In today's reflection, we're going to discuss three benefits that are extraordinary, blow this lie out of the water, and it's rarely ever discussed. By totally consecrating yourself to the Virgin Mary, you're going to have truer and deeper friendships. According to St. Thomas Aquinas, a true friendship is one that is based on two elements. First, unselfish love. He describes unselfish love as a love that is constant and truly desires the good of the other person, so therefore it is effective. It's actively working for the good of the other person. But that's not friendship alone. It has to have a common ground, something that the two people see the same and both love, that they can share and grow their friendship on. Jesus says, no greater love has a man than this, to lay down his life for his friends, so that the more I grow in holiness, the more I'm capable of authentic friendship, because I'm willing to sacrifice more and I desire more heaven for the one that I love. But that common ground is essential. If God is my common ground, but more specifically, if I love God through the most pure, chaste heart of the Virgin Mary, our common ground is exceptional. I'll give you a quick example. I will get together with family members that I really love and I want to sacrifice for them and I want them to go to heaven, but we don't have a friendship because our common bond isn't strong enough. And then I can go to maybe Australia or Mexico and I can meet a person who's an old lady and I have nothing in common with her except for the love of the Virgin Mary, and instantaneously, because we love something so deep, so profound, our friendship just explodes and we hit it off and we talk all the time and it's amazing. And many of you are doing this in groups and you've shared with me that because you're sharing intimate details about the most important things, that the bonds of your friendship are growing and they're expanding and it's so beautiful, and your ability to love and to sacrifice with one another as you've given your lives more over to the Virgin Mary, that they're truly holy and saintly friendships. I look at the chat and before these live streams, I see people who don't know each other. They don't know if they're male or female in some cases. You got a person named Insane talking to Ramon, talking to Marilyn. They don't know how old they are. Put these people together, you would be like, we would never be friends. But they say, oh, I'm so happy you're here. Oh, I'm praying for you. I'm sacrificing for you, because they have a friendship that is deep. And they have a friendship that is sacrificial because they're learning how to love. Now, Our Lady, being a good mother, you got a good mom, she puts her kids in a playgroup. But let's be honest, she doesn't put them in a playgroup with just anybody. Our Lady has a way of manipulating your life so that you will meet other children of Mary in the most random circumstances. You will somehow find a child of Mary in the airport and there you hit it off. We'll talk about a friend that Our Lady put into my life in a moment. Now, Our Lady's Friendships do not simply end at earthly friends. Our Lady is not going to narrow down your family, narrow down your friend group. She's going to expand it to even people who've been dead for thousands of years. So this is key. Remember, when I become a member of the body of Christ, all the other saints in heaven are also members of the body of Christ, and they're also lovers of the Virgin Mary. And what you will find is that Mary will put certain saints in your life. But first and foremost, she has a special man that she wants you to meet, and his name is Saint Joseph. When you become a child of Mary, you become one with Christ, and so you have Mary as your mother, and you have Saint Joseph as your protector and your provider. Now, certainly, the relationship between Jesus and Mary is exceptional and it's special. They share the same flesh, the same blood. Mary was immaculately conceived. Their hearts beat as one. But Saint Joseph is an indispensable part of the Holy Family, and he takes his fatherhood for the children of Mary very seriously, especially in the area of providing and protecting and growing in certain manly virtues and recognizing a real man in your own life, if you're a woman, for example. So gotta go to Saint Joseph. So automatically going to Mary gives you a new father. But in addition to that, the greatest lovers of Mary are saints, canonized saints. And what you're going to find is you have brothers and sisters who love you and who want to be a part of your life. And you feel like nobody you got that you can relate to or talk to from the heart because you've just got too many boundaries and walls you're putting up. Our Lady's going to give you a saint. She's going to give you a saint for a certain season. Maybe one season you're a Teresa of Avila person. Maybe another season you're JP2 or you're Jose Maria. So she's going to give you a saint for a season that seems to be reaching out to you through providence, a lot of prayer cards, the name pops up a lot. But she's also got saints that last for a lifetime, family saints, personal saints that have to do with your vocation and your mission. So I mentioned earlier that Our Lady put another child of Mary in my life who's a really, really good friend. And he not only is a good friend, but he happens to be an expert in saints and relics. He has the largest collection of relics in the history of the Catholic Church. He's also an exorcist. So when I have questions about saints, relics, or demons and angels and guardian angels, I ask him. I want to share with you some of the insights that he's provided to me. When a saint seems to be reaching out to you, or you have an attraction to a certain saint, he says, it is that saint who is attracting you. It is that saint who is calling you into a relationship, wants to be a mentor and a friend and a guide in the spiritual life. They want you to share in their charismatic gifts. And so you have to develop that friendship by putting pictures of them in your house, by praying a novena to them. And in a moment, I'm going to teach you how to do mental prayer with your saints that are calling out to you and reaching out to you, because truly they are alive. They want to communicate with you. Throughout the New Testament, we hear of prophecies and discerning of spirits. This is all real and active, and so many of us are missing out. And I promise you, when you say that prayer of consecration and you surrender your life to Jesus through Mary, you become a true child of Mary. The saints will begin calling out to you, and it's going to be completely their action. You're like, I wasn't looking for this relationship or this friendship, but this saint just showed up and he won't go away. And so I'm going to pray to them. There's a bigger friend group besides those who are on earth and those who have died and gone off to their heavenly reward. Who's that? Who's left? The angels, preternatural creatures created by God at the beginning of time. You have a guardian angel. You have Saint Michael. What does this mean? When I give my life to the Virgin Mary, although she's my mother, she's kind of a big deal. The Virgin Mary is the queen of heaven and earth, and all of the angels obey her. Even the fallen angels must obey her. And what's going to happen when you give your life to the Virgin Mary is the actions of your guardian angel are going to explode and multiply. At the beginning of time, God created a person dedicated specifically for you. They've waited for hundreds and thousands of years just for you to be born. And they have one task, to guard you and to guide you. To guide me in what? One task, the will of God. And so when you do your total consecration, this is why I keep bringing back the will, the will, the will, the will, because feelings, emotions, all that stuff disappears. At the end of the day, did you do the will of God or did you not? Did you succeed in the purpose that you were created or did you not? And so that's the goal of the guardian angel. And so when you say, Blessed Mother, I give my life to you. Help me to do God's will for my life. Your guardian angel's like, let's do it, baby. When the will of God is set as the fixed ideal in your mind and in your life, and you say, today, I'm going to do God's will. I'm going to go to work. I'm going to do step one, step two, step three. Your guardian angel is going to step in to help you in circumstances which you cannot help yourself. So through no fault of your own, if you're slacking, he's going to intervene to keep you from slacking. If you're knowingly and willingly going against the will of God and you've set your will on this, I don't know that he's going to help you because you're not trying to do God's will. He's not here to override your will. He's here to help you to do God's will. So let's say, for example, you're trying to go to work to do step one, two, and three. On your way into the office, another coworker stops you. They catch you off guard. They catch you in a conversation and you completely forget about your list of priorities. Well, your guardian angel, he's got you. All of a sudden, your phone vibrates and it's like, oh, that was weird. I have my phone on silent and on do not disturb. Was my phone vibrating? You check it, there's nothing there. It's a phantom vibrations. All of a sudden, you got a ladybug on your forehead. What the heck? Why is there a ladybug on my forehead? Swat that away. The ladybug comes back, lands on your nose. What's going on here? Next thing you know, the ladybug just bangs into your shirt like three times. What is happening? There are no coincidences. St. Thomas Aquinas says that the angels are God's secondary causes. God loves to work through intermediaries. So whenever something out of the ordinary happens, that's strange, that's odd, that's like one in a thousand, pause. Lord, what are you trying to say to me? My guardian angel, is there something that you need to communicate to me? That action of pausing, offering the prayer, if you give it a moment, you will have an inspiration in the intellect. Why in the intellect? Because angels are pure spirits, they are pure intellect, and they communicate to one another and to us through illumination, through little lights, little sparks in the mind. If you want to learn more about this, sorry, we don't have time. That will happen on a more regular basis. I'm going to get into how to do mental prayer with your saints, with your angels. But before that, I want to give you a pro tip. Back to my friend who's an expert on relics, an expert on saints, and an expert on angels and demons, because he's one of the most well-known, world-renowned exorcists in the world. Before I can give you his pro tip, I need to explain three things about relics. So there's first class, second class, and third class relic. A first class relic is a part of the body of a saint. Whether that's their hair, their nails, their skin, their flesh, their bones, any part of their body. It's very special. Why? Because they are temples of the Holy Spirit. We are not a soul living in a body. I am the union of a body and soul united. So as I become holy, my body becomes holy. The second class relic is something that the saint owned, a part of their possession, whether that be their rosary, part of their clothing, part of their habit. A third class relic, say for example, this picture of Saint Jose Maria, a third class relic is any devotional item that is touched to a first class relic or a second class relic. Your devotional item does not have to come into direct contact with the relic itself, as long as you are touching the thing closest to the relic. So if there's a large pane of glass, for example, touch the glass and that will count to make your item a third class relic. Now I can tell you some pro tip, next level type stuff. My friend says, whenever he goes into an exorcism, if there is a person who's truly possessed, he knows that they're possessed if they can sense something sacred. So he will take in a first class relic. We'll say, for example, the relic of Saint Maria Goretti. And the person who is possessed will begin to freak out. They'll say, get her away from me. I hate that little girl. Get her away. Get her away. I can't stand her. We might only see a little square piece of her flesh in a reliquary, but the demon sees truly the 11-year-old girl who was stabbed to death 14 times and then forgave her murderer just before dying. So this is extraordinarily profound, not because you have first-class relics at home, but many of your churches have relic stations. And so you can go to them and truly say, Saint Maria Goretti, I believe that you are here present in this room, and talk to them as if they're really present. Again, this goes back to our mental prayer from previous lessons. But this is the more profound thing. I asked him, I said, Father, you mentioned that whenever you bring a first-class relic in the presence of a possessed person, they respond as if that person was really present. What about in the case of second-class or third-class relics? Is it the same? His response was, yes. I have this prayer card of St. Jose Maria. If I take this prayer card to a shrine of St. Jose Maria and touch it to his first or second class relics, the spiritual reality is, St. Jose Maria, I believe that you are really here present. So let us conclude then by discussing, how do I do mental prayer with my saint? It's the same process for mental prayer that you do for Jesus and Mary. In the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit, help me to pray. St. Michael, wrap your wings of protection around my mind and around my heart. Blessed Virgin Mary, I believe you're here. Help me to pray. Jesus, I believe you're here. I want to talk to St. Jose Maria. Then you close your eyes. You try to visualize the face of St. Jose Maria. Again, this increases our faith, our intellect, impacts our disposition. This increases my faith in St. Jose Maria. I talk to him about whatever I need, and then I pause and let him speak back to me. Now, what if you do not have a first-class relic, or a third-class relic, or second-class relic, whatever? So in this case, let's say I have a picture of St. Anthony of Padua. If I'm at home, because St. Anthony is a member of the body of Christ, and I am a member of the body of Christ, the same thing, Holy Spirit, St. Michael, Blessed Virgin Mary, Jesus, as a member of the body of Christ, I would love to speak to St. Anthony of Padua. And when you make your novena intentions and it says, state the intention that is in your heart, then you imagine the face of St. Anthony of Padua. In this case, you make an act of faith in his presence, and then you state what it is that you ask for. So in conclusion, when you give your life to the Virgin Mary and you just say those beautiful words, Blessed Mother, I surrender. Help me to love God. Help me to be the man or woman God created me to be. I do all of this through your sorrowful and immaculate heart. Raise me. I am truly your child. When you do that, Our Lady doesn't close you in and keep you for herself. She opens you up to the full body of Christ to be an active member. God bless you. God love you. And we will see you tomorrow.